We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. And good morning. And thank you for inviting me here again. It's lovely to be back. It's great for Cliff and I to be back, so thank you very much. Andrew mentioned that there'd be children here. I don't know if they're going to go out or they're going to stay. I'm happy for them to stay. In fact, I've brought some things for them to do here on the floor if you're interested at all. It's only drawing and things like that. We're going to be thinking about, thank you, we're going to be thinking about how God, well, about God and how he speaks to us, because we often speak to God in many ways. We pray to God. We especially speak to God when we're scared or we're worried about something. And so, and that's really good. But God also wants to speak to us. And so we try to see how God speaks to us. And sometimes he speaks to us, or the Bible tells us he speaks to us through creation. So through everything he has created, the beauty of the world. So God speaks to us through that. He speaks to us through the fact that he created the lovely flowers and birds and, well, and us. We're his favorite creation, so he speaks to us through his creation. Sometimes he speaks to people through dreams. I mean, some people in the Bible especially, when God wants people to do something in particular, he speaks to them through dreams. Other times it's through other people who know God very, really well. And they may have a message for us from God, so he speaks to us through other people that know him well. But mostly, most of us discover that God speaks through us through his word, through the Bible. And so, when we read the Bible and we think about it and we just spend some time looking at the stories and the stories of others in the Bible, we discover that God can speak through us through his word. And that's what we're going to concentrate on today. So I'm just putting this here. Don't worry, nobody has to get up and do anything. But just in case anyone did want to get up and do something, you can do so. And the idea is that we're going to be looking at a particular passage today from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. And we're going to take some time to listen and see if God has anything in particular to tell us as individuals from this story in the Bible. And it's a parable, as Andrew said, called the parable of the sower from Matthew's gospel. And this is a very well-known parable. In fact, many of you probably are quite familiar with the whole of chapter 13. And in this chapter, Jesus makes a point in speaking to the crowds in parables. A parable, as you know, is a story. And Jesus often told stories about everyday things to give an important message. And very often these stories were very nice to hear, but very often too, they carried a very uncomfortable twist for many of his hearers. So we're going to be listening to this story, and so before I speak on this passage, and I will speak on the passage, I'd like us to carve out some time just for a moment of stillness to allow God to speak to you personally. And this quiet way of reading the Bible is called Lectio Divina, and it's holy reading. And what we will do is I will read from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, and I'm going to read it twice. And the first time I read it, I'm going to invite you just to listen to the story and just take it in, preferably as if it were the first time you were listening to it. And then the second time I read it, See if there's any word or any phrase that really pops up to you or grabs you in some way. And just hold on to that word or phrase. Don't worry if nothing grabs you. Just enjoy the stillness. And for the children, if they're interested in reading the, listening to the story, if there's something that, if you want to draw something about the story, feel free to do that. There's paper and crayons and all sorts of things there. And just make it colorful and just nice and bright. Just remembering that sometimes God speaks to us through his word. So, relax. Just where you are. Close your eyes if you want to. And be still in the presence of the Lord. Your word is a lamp to my feet, Lord, and a light to my path. I will read from Matthew chapter 13, 1-9. Try to listen to the verses as if it were your first time hearing these words. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. Well, it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. I'm going to read those verses again. This time as you listen, see if there's a word or a phrase that really stands out for you. And stay with that word or phrase. Again, if nothing grabs you, don't worry. Just enjoy the stillness. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow seeds. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Try and remember that word or phrase in a little while, we'll have another moment of quiet so you can thank God for whatever he has shown you. Okay. I just wanted to give God the opportunity to speak to you before I spoke from these verses. Not that God does not speak through whatever I'm saying, but it's your own private moment with God, and I just wanted to carve out that little bit of space. This is a very well-known parable, and it's quite challenging to preach from a well-known passage like this. Many of you have probably heard loads of sermons on this parable over the years. Preaching on such a familiar passage makes it even harder when Jesus actually explains his passage in verses 18 to 24. He says, listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So there you have it. This parable, and in fact the subsequent ones, are about the kingdom of heaven. The seed in the verses is the message about the kingdom. The soil is the heart of the people, and the condition of the soil is portrayed in how the seed grows in those individuals. Not at all in some cases. This is when the heart is hard, and so the message does not get through. The rocky or the shallow hearts can't hang on to the message. Then there are those who hear the message, they accept it, but the worries and temptations of this life choke away any peace or security that the message might bring. And finally, the good soil. This is where the message takes root and whoosh up, springs faith and understanding. Presumably, all the worries and temptations of this life are no match for the abundant growth that happens in this heart. No room for weeds here. Just a great harvest. 160, 30 times what was sown. Now, I could ask where you fit in to this parable, or where you fit in these verses. But being British, you would never tell me. But it's the good soil, isn't it? That's where we fit in. We fit into the good soil. After all, that's why we're gathered here together. That's why we sing our songs. That's why we smile. We praise God. Because we got it. We understood the message. We have understood and heard. We heard the message however long ago, and we accepted it. And now we live in blissful relationship with God and with one another. Our faith is strong and secure. No more weeds in our hearts. All our worries and temptations are gone. Right? Right. Yeah, well. You probably sound a lot like, you look at this passage and go, All of a sudden, this parable doesn't feel very comfortable. It's a nice story, but it doesn't feel very comfortable anymore. After hearing or thinking about it that way, that there's nothing, no troubles left in our lives, it's very difficult to kind of take this in. But the more I read these stories, the more questions I tend to have. This parable and the ones that follow, the parable of the wheat and the weeds, the parable of the mustard seed, the yeast, the hidden treasure, all sound simple. But when we really engage with them, they are like diamonds, if you like, full of facets, shining light in all directions. And they could be quite uncomfortable. But then, that was the whole point of why Jesus told or spoke in parables. They were nice stories to listen to, so they got people's attention with an uncomfortable twist to challenge his listeners. So the parable was a good way to get people's attention, to get them to think, to talk, to think outside the box. In short, to challenge people's perspective and to force them to make clear decisions as to where their allegiance laid. Were they true followers of the one true loving God, open to growing spiritually and so deepening their relationship with God, or followers of their religious traditions that were inflexible and binding? I read somewhere that Jesus told stories not to hide the path to God from those he loved and taught. He spoke in parables and paradox because spiritual growth is not a paint-by-numbers process. The religious leaders of Jesus' day certainly thought they had their faith and their spiritual lives nicely packaged and in good order. They pride themselves on being experts of the law, knowing who God was and how he expected his people to live and worship. And they did a good job of teaching these laws and a very good job of enforcing them too. So it's not surprising that the people Jesus was speaking to in chapter 13 had preconceived ideas about all sorts of things. In particular, who God was, where he lived in heaven, somewhere unreachable in this life. Who he blessed, it was the rich, the important, the righteous Jews like the Pharisees who were apparently blessed. Certainly not the poor, the sick, the oppressed, and the sinners. Where he reigned, the kingdom of heaven, this was something other, something beyond anything known. So you could imagine their surprise to hear of God's kingdom being compared with ordinary things or with the experiences of everyday life that people experienced. He said things like, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, or like the yeast that a woman mixes in with flour, or like a merchant looking for fine pearls. Well, this comparison was just terrible to some of Jesus' listeners. It was ridiculous. How could God and his kingdom be compared with such ordinary things? Equally, how could God's kingdom be among the oppressors, be among the oppressive powers of Rome? Jesus has said previously in chapter 12 that the kingdom of heaven was already here. Where was the evidence of this? Where were the blessings? Life was not easy in occupied Palestine. These parables were very shocking to many of Jesus' listeners. It didn't make sense. They went against everything they thought God was like and against the standards they had in place to live good religious lives. Many of those who heard Jesus' parables did not understand or accept his teaching because it challenged their preconceived ideas about God, about worship, about life. But then there were also those which were his disciples or his followers who, like the others, were also raised with the same preconceived ideas, issues, and prejudices, who also lived in occupied Palestine, and like the others, were oppressed by the Roman government, yet they were open to Jesus' teaching. They heard what was being taught, and they asked questions when they did not understand. So they were open to learning about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Open to take God that had been so neatly and perfectly presented to them since the day they were born. Take God out of the box and accept that he was bigger and better than anything they had ever imagined. That he was interested in them as individuals, and extremely interested in their spiritual development. How exciting to think that whatever God plants in your heart has the potential to grow 160, 30 times more than what he planted. This was different. This was refreshing. This was new. The parable of the sower is an exciting story. Here you have a picture of an extravagant farmer who just lavishes his good seeds in every nook and cranny of his field. He doesn't discriminate. He doesn't evaluate the soil to see where he can get the best returns. The seeds are sown equally on hard ground, rocky ground, thorny ground, or good ground. Why would the sower do that? It could only be because he is hopeful that the seeds will take root and grow wherever they fall. So are we still good soil? Yeah, we're still good soil. And all the rest of the soils as well. I believe that our hearts and lives can be made up of all four soils at any given time. Like Jesus' first century listeners, we have prejudices, issues, preconceived ideas about all sorts of things, including God, church, and life in general. But the beauty of the sower is that he wants his seed, his kingdom values, to break into every nook and cranny of our lives. The stubborn, the hard, stony, thorny areas, as well as the loving, caring, gentle side of our lives. He sows generously throughout that he may take root and grow and grow and grow. Our job as his disciples is to keep learning. It's that simple. To keep open minds and hearts to Jesus' teaching, to allow God's word to challenge us from deep within, that we may develop and grow to become our true selves, to become who we are, known and loved by God. Selves that are that accept that we're not perfect, but we're willing to learn. Cells that accept that others are not perfect, but like God has accepted us, we accept them and allow God to sow his seed equally in their mixed soil hearts. And Andrew's children's talk mentioned, you know, the wheat and the weeds. And that's such a lovely story because it just shows that God allows wheat and weed to grow in us. The good and the bad, they grow equally. And eventually, he will take care of the bad. So we need to grow ourselves, but we don't need to judge anyone else. Let God do that. We just need to accept one another as we are, accept ourselves as we are, and work at working with God into growing as he wants us to grow. So I'd like to encourage you in the future, if you don't do this already, to carve out from your busyness every once in a while to sit with a story from the Bible like we've done today and see what God reveals in your life. Remembering always that God wants to encourage you to grow and develop the person that you are. So that's the simple message of today and the message within this story, that we are who we are. We're not perfect. We have a mixture of all the soils in our hearts. But we don't have to have any bits that are hard and stony and cannot be nurtured. God wants to sow his goodness in every nook and cranny of our lives. And when that seed grows in our lives, we will find that we can live our lives with all the mixture of weeds and wheat together and find that the wheat will grow and overcome, or that God's word and kingdom values will grow and overcome our selfishness, etc. But most importantly, that we will be blessed by him and turn and be a blessing to others as we accept others as God has accepted us. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's be quiet again for a moment. And I'm going to read the parable again. If you received a word or a phrase from the Lord through these verses, perhaps you'd like to thank him. And during this quiet time. And just spend some time with God thanking him in silence. If not, just enjoy the stillness. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow seeds. As he was scattering the seeds, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear."